Hey gang, it's Six, I'm doing the edit, and we wanted to let you know up top here that we have a little bit of a content warning here. This episode has a pretty realistic depiction of someone having, like, a pretty thorough anxiety attack, right? And some very unhealthy, depressive behavior. They don't do anything rash, it's just a lot of, like, you know, representation of a very bad thought process and a very self-destructive thought process. And we talk with that and we engage with that. And so for some people that could be, you know, maybe you don't want to hear that right now. Maybe you just aren't in a place where that's going to be good for you. And if so, we totally get it. Thanks for dropping by. But we really wanted to engage with it because we're both people, Alan and I are both people with some pretty serious mental illness, you know, anxiety, depression, you know, the whole works. We got the full set at the store. That's great. We got a discount. And seeing it represented here in a realistic way and seeing people try to cope with it for us was really kind of therapeutic, I think. So we really liked seeing it. We really liked talking about it. And we're going to do so on this episode. I hope you enjoy it if you listen. And if you, again, if you don't think you're in a place for this and you want to tap out here, hey, we appreciate you listening even just to this bit. Take care out there. Hello friends and folks, and welcome back to another episode of Oops More Anime and our continuing coverage of Mobile Suit Gundam The Witch from Mercury. I'm Six Detmar from Scanline Media.
I'm Alan Ibrahim from Chats and Scanline Media.
And Alan, you've been hit by a curse. Curse of the Gundam.
I've been struck by a seasonal cold. Dun 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 dun.
Are you sure it's not COVID? Because if it is, I have to end this call. I don't want to catch it. I've avoided it so long.
That's fair. I tested yesterday and it was negative. I'm going to test tomorrow afternoon and see. It's probably not. I can smell everything
that's
fine.
That's cool. That's dope. Yeah. I love smelling things.
Like what?
You know.
Say feet.
What the Rock is cooking.
Oh, sure. The Witches from Earth.
That's one of those tests as to whether or not you have COVID, the, you know. Dwayne Johnson is like, can you smell what I'm cooking? And you're like, I'm sorry, I can't. He's like, oh no.
Oh no. What is he cooking usually? I feel like eggs? Meat?
He seems like a chili kind of guy.
Oh, know? He's got like a big sauce. He's stirring it.
Uh-huh.
I should know how to make chili. That would be fun.
It's not really hard. I mean, like, doing a good one. I feel like there are a lot of steps involved in a really good chili, but none of the steps are that hard. It's just, like, how many steps are you going to take decides what kind of chili you're making.
So much of the best food, especially winter food, is, like, put a bunch of stuff in a pot, make it hot, and stir it for 100 hours. And then you have the most delicious substance known to man. And you're like, wow, that was so easy. Soup is good, is what I'm saying.
Soup is very good.
You know what else is good?
But no soup today. You've got chicken over rice if you want it. In episode 11 of The Witch from Mercury.
The Witches from Earth?
That is the name of this episode, yes.
Six, it doesn't seem like there's enough chicken over rice for both of us, so I'm just going to go ahead and skip my meal this week. I have my little juice box.
Alan, I accidentally took two. This one's yours. It's fine.
No, it's okay. I'm going to go to the bathroom, and I have my little juice. It's fine. That's a meal, right? That's definitely food. God!
Oh, okay, you're dieting. That's fine.
Yeah.
Okay, I get it.
We need to talk about that with some sort of content warning, but can you, before we get to that scene, please tell me what happened in The Witches from Earth?
Sure can. Gund Arm Incorporated, aka Earth House, flies to Planet Quetta to pick up Ariel. In the wake of Mjolnir's distracted comments previously, Soleta is deeply anxious and working to prove she's useful. Her stress and panic prompts Nika to give a push to Mjolnir, urging her to go work out whatever happened between her and Soleta. Soleta calls her mom from the bathroom, venting her anxiety and stress, and Lady Prospera sues her by telling her to come see her. Before she can, Mjolnir confronts her, and in a very Mjolnir-like way, wow, good job, explains how much Soleta means to her. The two have worked it out. Meanwhile, Vimjedar tries to bait Delling into moving against Sarius Grassley, but Delling calmly deflects and disengages. In a half-real, half-pretend temper tantrum, Vim grabs Delling by the collar, then plants a tracker on one of his bodyguards before being thrown out. He tells Shedik about the tracker, and tells him to start the assassination attempt in 2 hours. Shedik, naturally, starts it immediately, and the Dawn of Fold launches a squad of Desulters, a previous generation Jeddak mobile suit, and two Lefrists with their witch pilots Sophie and Norie. Elsewhere, Delling's Dominicus fleet detects a Jeddak ship leaving Plant Quetta for the moon, and wonders what it's up to, though we won't find out today. As the attack begins on Plant Quetta, everyone begins to evacuate, except Lady Prospera, who seems unsurprised and orders her staff to ready Ariel for launch. Ariel seems to have received some upgrades, though, again, we won't be finding out what they are today. Witches Sophie and Norie cut one of the space station's blocks off, isolating it from the rest of Plant Quetta. As they search for Delling on the isolated block, Sophie spots Suleta and gets excited seeing the famous witch from Mercury. Seems like we'll see the new and improved Ariel in action sooner rather than later. Next episode, keep marching on instead of running off.
The core finale is next week.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we're building, right? I watched this episode twice today. And in my first watch, my main note was like, geez, this assassination plot is being dragged out a lot longer than it needs to. I hope it ends literally next episode. And then on my rewatch, I was like, you fucking idiot. Obviously it is. Can you pay attention to the 50 other really cool things that are happening in this episode? We have
Give yourself grace. Your temperature was 102 yesterday. You might have missed a few things.
It's possible. I'm only half conscious. We got a character reintroduction from the prologue randomly in this episode with the Dominicus group and Kenanji Avery. I always find it interesting when we see people from the prologue, like, you know, Delling, like his hair went gray and Lady Prosper obviously got the mask. And then Kenanji is just like, yeah, fuckers, I gained a lot of weight. What do you want? It's been a couple years. Fuck you. I'm still as good of a mobile suit pilot as I was. So I just appreciate that. I appreciate a bigger person like defending themselves, even though it comes from a place of people like teasing him. Totally random. Yeah, not related to the rest of the episode.
I worry about it a little, like I always do, because anime loves their fat jokes. I mean, honestly, all media does. I can't put this on anime. If this was happening in a Western show, I'd be just as worried. Yes. But so far, there hasn't been anything that's been a big problem.
Yeah, it's just more a case of like, what and why have you changed since that prologue? But overall, how did you feel about The Witches from Earth?
I thought it was a pretty good episode. I think, I mean, there's the scene in the middle with Suleta and Myrine is really touching and good.
Yes.
And I feel like, I don't know, I feel like you see a lot of seeds of, like, I don't know what the second core is going to be, but I feel like by the end of the next episode, I will. Right. I feel like they're setting up a lot of, like, they have laid a lot of cards on the table face down that they're getting ready to flip over, you know?
Totally. The character stuff in this, it's almost like exactly split in half between character stuff and ending out the core and setting up the next one with the back half. And I naturally love the character stuff because you need that to make the other half interesting. These are characters that we care about. That's like why I was messaging you like, hey, can you explain to me exactly why Guel matters in this plot line? Because he's still on this mining ship, you know, separate from his father's grip or whatever. And their ship is seized by the two witches. And I was like, why did they include this other than just like Guel's still on the storyline? And you were like, oh, no, it's because they are trying to sneak up to the base without being seen. But that also implicates Guel in all of this. Because he's seeing everything. He might be able to warn someone. He might be able to stop something. I feel like he's also a card on the table.
I feel like the fact that they're using the ship to sneak in, the reason that Guel is there is so that next episode Guel can be in the right place at the right time at a key moment.
Precisely.
Right?
Yeah.
So whether it's him grabbing one of the new Gunpla they've announced. Not in Gunpla form. Well, that's a thing. I think that happened while we were between episodes, right? We haven't talked about the new Gunpla that came out and the designs, right? So we'll have to do that at the end of the episode.
Yeah.
Guel's role here is not exactly clear, except for we can see he's still got spunk. He's willing to talk back to the terrorists. His will isn't broken. He's still strong.
he's still invested, whether it's for good or for bad or whatever, whatever faction he wants to help out. Because he isn't even necessarily going to help Celeta and them. I think he's going to help Earth House, because why would you say, like, screw you, my dad, who's on this faction, I'm going to join another person who's working with you. Like, everyone else works with his dad. So I think I'm expecting a face turn, a full face turn from Noel, personally. Also, other card on the table, the aforementioned upgrade to the Aerial, Quiet Zero. Any predictions what you think Quiet Zero is actually going to be?
I don't feel like the only prediction I actually have, I feel like, is too basic, because it has to do with we got, as I say, like a handful of new Gunpla that I'll have you look at and give some thoughts on.
Oh, sure.
And one of them, they all have their names, right? Except for one of them, which just says like new Witch from Mercury mobile suit. And it's like the fact that you're not giving this a name yet, it's like, okay, is this Quiet Zero? Maybe, but I doubt it. Honestly, I think it's something more than that. So I don't know.
I think it's a mobile armor.
I think that I feel like it's got to be bigger than a mobile armor. Mm. Like, not like size wise, but like it's not. It more doesn't momentous. Seem like a project, right? Like, it's not a project. I think that creates a single machine is what I'm guessing.
Yeah. But is it a new mobile suit entirely?
Or is it some? Is it even mobile suit based technology? I don't know. Mm. Like, who knows?
Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah, I just saw some people suggesting that, it's going to be some sort of upgrade. I'm personally anticipating that it's like the last shot of episode 12. And then they're like, oh, check it out. And then we don't see it in action until next core. That's another one of my predictions. That's the thing about a penultimate episode, is like all I can do right now is go like, oh, this will probably become this. But yeah, we talked about the brief reappearance of Kinanji and Dominicus. So are they getting involved in this plot now? Or potentially to defend Delling? Or they're just curious why people are there?
I mean, we only get the single statement, but based on this, like what they say, I think what's going on, like my read of what's going on, is that before all this goes down at Plant Quetta, which is run by Jeddark, right?
Yeah.
That Jeddark is taking some secret project, loading it onto a ship and getting it away. Before all this goes down, because the ship, they say the ship is like heading. They say it's from like the plant like patrol fleet, right? Yeah. Which you would assume then, okay, it's probably from Plant Quetta, and they're like, it's headed for the moon.
Oh,
so it's like they're like, hey, before this all goes down, you should get our little like fixer upper car out of here, you know?
Right, our jalopy.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine.
Though probably not a jalopy, probably a Gundam. Oh. I guess really what's probably going on, which is actually combined with the Gunpla and Guel. That's kind of my leading theory right now, which I don't have a lot of confidence in, but it's more than any other theory I've got, is that whatever it is the Jeddark Gundam, and Guel is going to take it.
Probably. Yeah.
So
get him back in the fold. Get my boy back in there. I want to see Guel Jeddark Ikimasu. I need that moment really badly. The last like plot things happening that I had to talk about, I mean, you can obviously add whatever you want, was the little bit of more introduction we got for the witches, specifically one of them watching Suleta's fight, like her 6v1 from a few episodes ago, and being a big fan of her, and then the episode ending with her being like, oh my god, the great Suleta Mercury. It's kind of like a classic Gundam thing. It's a classic anime thing, I guess, of someone being like, oh my god, I'm such a big fan of you, I'm so happy to finally meet you, and kill you, like, and like, defeat you in pitched combat. Do you think that there's anything, like, storyline going on there, or is that just, like, we're gonna make these villains seem a little fucked up or weird?
I actually think it made them seem less fucked up to me.
Yeah.
I think part of my arc with this episode is going from, like, in my notes here, my initial note on, Sophie or Sophie A. I have to listen again, but I think it's just Sophie.
It's just too.
They spell it with an E on the end, and the Japanese sometimes they would pronounce it that way. But anyway, Sophie Polone.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, the last name Polone, I'm going to send you this. This is probably a coincidence, but there's a Gundam called Plutone, and it just made me think of that.
Oh my god, no way.
Because it's very, very close in name. That's all. It's from a 00 spinoff, so probably no relation. Though it is piloted by a sicko.
Good.
And so, like, my initial note on her is just, I wrote Manic Pixie Nightmare Girl.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, oh, she's a Manic Pixie Dream Girl, but evil. Okay, great.
Yeah.
But I think over the course of the episode, I get a little more personality of her that is, like, it's no less tropey, but at least shows they're trying to treat her like a person in a way that I feel like I wasn't giving them credit for. Like, we previously saw her watching, like, the ad for Gundarm, and back then it was just like, wow, fuck these guys. They think they know what a Gundam is. They've got no idea.
It's right,
like, okay,
right.
Yeah, you're evil. We get it.
Yeah.
But now, like, she's watching it over and getting, like, hyped and being like, man, this is so sick, and she comes across like a YouTube addict.
Yeah.
And, I don't know, this is, like, specifically humanizing for you and me with one of our other podcasts, the Johto Quorum. I don't know if you noticed, she's got Fangy.
She does have Fangy, I did notice.
And I'm like, you can't be that bad if you got Fangy.
Yeah, I trust you. I trust you with my bank account and credit card info.
So yeah, she seemed fun. Norie, we really don't get
nothing about
on
her yet.
Yeah.
So that's all the forward momentum stuff. I want to really dig into the emotional core of this episode.
There's a lot of that, yeah.
Yeah, and it's the stuff that, like I said earlier, resonated with me a lot. I'm not sure how we want to talk about the Soletta chicken over rice stuff, because it is like a form of like, what's the opposite of self-care? I don't want to say self-harm, but like deliberate self-neglect almost. That
it's a destructive, like, thought process, I would say.
Yeah, that I've certainly engaged in before, like almost exactly the way that she does, which is like, everybody's eating food. They all have all these chicken over rice bentos. She's giving them out, and then she realizes, she picks one up, and then someone else grabs it, and she lets them have it, and then there's none left for her, because she probably miscounted. And so she goes and drinks a bottle of, like, juice or something by herself in the bathroom. It's, like, very, yeah, self-destructive. It's she is repeatedly saying, nobody here values me. I'm not useful to anybody here. Everybody is, like, tolerating me. I shouldn't have even come to this school. We've gotten from, like, I love this turn for Soletta, because having her as just this, like, oblivious childlike character all the time doesn't make it clear that what she's hiding is a deep self-loathing. So I think that they finally started to bring some of that to the surface with this episode, because then she, like, you know, has the confrontation with Miorine, where Miorine's like, don't you always say, like, move forward, gain two? And immediately Soletta's like, I fucking say that to myself to convince myself it's real. I don't fucking know. I don't know how to put that into practice, dude. I loved that. I feel like that was a really, like, profound character beat for this character who we've, like, had problems with up until now.
And I think it's not as much, like, news, right? Like, I mean, we, you know, from the first episode, we've got her, like, in situations where she's hiding behind people, but then murmuring, you know, if you move forward, you get two. You know, it's not like she's naturally a courageous person from that. But it is sort of a fleshing out and a shading of that, a depth to it that we haven't gotten before. We're like, you're right. Like, this is very familiar stuff. There is something about this pattern of, like, I feel like there are a couple of things wrapped up in this that are very real, right? Yeah. Which is, like, first of all, the thought process of, like, something goes wrong, and rather than try and fix it, you kind of are like, I'm going to hug this, like, this bad close to me and take it away, right?
Yeah.
And dwell on it. And there's also a thing that, like, hey, I think a lot of us out there who struggle with this have this, like, misconception that I'm about to say. And also, on some level, we know it's not true, right? Which is, like, it's so easy for things to go bad and for you to walk off and be like, I'm in pain and no one else is even noticing.
Right.
And that's so rarely true.
Right. Fuck.
If you, like, I have had situations where, like, I've been in Miorne's situation, but I've also had situations where I'm in Nika's position, right? Where you're like, my friend is hurting. And I'm not saying anything, not because I don't care, but because I don't know if I have the answer. Mm-hmm. I don't want to make it worse. I want to help. I'm just trying to figure out how to do it. People probably have noticed, you know?
Yeah. No, Nika's scene is brief, but really important. Because, like... Mm-hmm. You see Miorine and that confrontation, and that's great because it's finally somebody cracking through. But in actuality, probably most people from Earth House know that, like, Suleta's had issues. You do not have that moment where she puts the Lee gives the other guy the food and then walks away. And don't think anybody saw that and thought, like, I know what she's doing. No, they probably all saw that and they're all concerned. But when you're in your own head like that, which, again, a lot of us have been, you just think, and this is my cross to bear, so to speak. Like, I need to suffer for this because I deserve it. It's, like, taps into a lot of stuff I talk about with my therapist, actually. It's like, where do feelings of low self-worth come from? And I think that Suleta is a character who, she really needs external validation for her feelings to feel like she's normal and belongs. And if she doesn't get that, if she isn't the victor of duels or the amazing groom or whatever that gets complimented, then she defaults to feeling like shit and hating herself. And it's brilliant characterization to me.
It also makes it really complicated and good the way they've paired her with Murine. And Murine is a character who very rarely gives people positive feedback.
Yeah.
Right? And, like, the... I feel like it's really good in that it's kind of bad and unhealthy, right? But, like, in a way that, like, I get. Miorne makes this step here, right, as part of their confrontation where she chases her down as, like, you have to tell me what's wrong and you have to stop being such an idiot about it and everything, right? And there is a, like, this is a step for Miorne, right? She is, like, this is a good move for her. But she's still not totally doing this healthy. And I think that's important that it's not that easy, right? Like, we, you know, it's an anime, we play all this for fun and laughs, and, like, sometimes you call your friends an idiot, but, like, you know, slapstick or whatever, Miorne hits her fairly often, and that's not healthy, actually.
No, because you start to fear, like, intimacy at that point. That's why there's, like, so that's exactly why this confrontation is so powerful, is that they are literally punching each other, like, don't you fucking get that I need you. I'm hitting you because I love you and because I care about you and I don't know how to express it because I'm, you know, not capable right now.
And they're kids and they'll work on it, right?
Yeah.
But it is, I think it's, to me, it feels really important that after all of this, it isn't, Miorne never says thank you. Miorne never says like you mean so much to me.
Yeah.
What she says is because of you, things are better. And so I need you to ask me. Right? I need you to tell me you can help. I'm not going to ask you for help, but I need you to tell me you will.
Say you want me to rely on you.
Yeah, it's like, Miorne, like, this is good enough for now, but you also have some work to do.
Yeah.
Emotionally here. And then, but, like, before that, we get, and I only caught this on my second watch, I wonder how this came through to you, right? But when we have Suleta in the back bathroom calling her mom.
Yeah, awesome.
And first of all, it's so good because right before that, we get her talking to Belmaria.
Yeah.
And Belmaria is like, you know, like, oh, you know, they've got, you know, we're realizing the dream of the gun format.
Yeah.
We're doing medicine. And Prosper's like, yeah, that's great. And, like, she says it that, like, her words are the right words. But we can tell and Belmaria can tell she doesn't really care.
Exactly.
Right. And then also she says, like, I'm really proud of my daughter. And it's the same thing. And Belmaria's like. Face drops. She's never a big smiler, but it just drops into this, like, oh, you can't care about this anymore.
Right.
And then Suleta calls and she immediately switches into mom tone, and you could read it, right, as like, oh no, she's talking to her daughter and she's just naturally lighting up. But you listen to what she says.
Yeah.
And Suleta is like, Mom, I think I've misunderstood all of this. I think, like,
people hate me.
The people I thought were my friends aren't actually my friends. It's sometimes I'm useful and they like that, but now I'm not and they don't care about me anymore. And it's so important and so directly, intentionally toxic that what Lady Prospera then says is, I'm here for you. Doesn't say you're probably misunderstanding. Doesn't say give your friends more credit. She, like, sort of implies, like, yeah, you're probably right, but I'm here.
Yeah, it's don't creating rely on a dependency. Anyone but me.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really good. It's really, like, keen writing.
Well, and it's also because it's couched in something that, like, my parents have said to me and other, like, adults have said to me, which is, Suleta says, Mom, I think people hate me. I've, like, determined that people hate me. And she says, okay, people hate you? Did they explicitly say, like, Suleta, I hate you and I wish you weren't around? And she's like, no, I guess they didn't. And she's like, all right, Suleta, so you're probably – she doesn't say, like, Suleta, they don't hate you. She says, Suleta, you're probably wrong. You know who loves you is me. I'm always going to care about you. And that's like couched in exactly toxic parenting, because it comes from a perspective of like, you're never going to lose me. All the other people in your life are going to fucking fade away, but I'm around all the time, which is like everybody's parents have been like this at some point. It creates attachment and it creates abandonment issues, and it's not making things better for her. So to follow that up with the Muriene scene was crucial, because I was like, Celeta's coming out of this worse if that's where she ends up.
And also, I think it's important that, like, it is a comparison, a dark simile of, like, real relationships, right?
Yeah.
And the part of it that, you know, is not how, like, you or I or our friends, our relationship with our parents is our mom doesn't go, "Don't worry, sweetie, I'm always here," as is the gun I built for you.
Right. Come to the ship.
Worry. Yeah.
Me and that gun that you love.
Ariel's always here.
Exactly. Yeah. Me and the gun that we built for you are here. Come, I'll make you a snack or something, and you can hang out on the rifle barrel. Like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Yeah. Since she's a really bad person.
Since the prologue, she's been like that, though, right? Like I said that.
Yeah.
She's always been like, associate the Ariel with mom, with love and affection and people caring about you. So, because she wants her to stay using the mobile suit and keep relying on it when she has problems. Good writing. Really good writing.
Yeah. It's good.
And then, that Muriene conversation. It's a classic thing, right? Like, I think I'm the only person in the whole world to compare Mobile Suit Gundam The Witch from Mercury to Apple TV Plus's Ted Lasso. But that show is also about a, like, overwhelmingly earnest protagonist who is using that earnestness and kindness to hide a deep, profound self-loathing. And I just saw the parallels. As soon as Muriene was like, come on, you know, like the move forward game two. And Celeta's like, I don't even fucking know what that means, dude. I know I say it all the time. Like, what do you think? I say it to make myself believe it because I'm compensating. Yeah. Okay. And for her to feel open enough to tell Muriene that is really great. Right. Like, they both can actually say these things to each other and not perform in front of everyone else.
But I don't, like, in that scene, I don't know how much it is, like, Suleta is at a point where she feels like she can trust Muriene like that, or if it's just that Suleta is feeling so beaten that she doesn't, like...
Didn't care anymore.
That the filter's gone. Yeah.
That's possible. I believe it. But either way, she says it, and they... The like, sad but funny part there is when she hurts Muriene, like, she opens the door, and then, like, the door slams her into the wall. And you realize, like, oh, I've now hurt you. Like, not only have I been hurting you emotionally, but I've, like, physically harmed you. And then the, don't run from me, annoy me, like, always, and keep moving forward from Muriene. Like, keep being that earnest, positive self that you think is, like, a put-on, because we need that.
I think the most, like, sincere, like, I think even... betrayal of her feelings, right? I don't think she intends to be this open, but specifically one of the last lines Muriene says, she's listing all these things. She's like, you need to win the fights. You need to, you know, like, you need to help me. And the last thing she says after the list starts to get ridiculous is, you need to email me 3 times a day, which is like, oh, you are attached.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, clip the tomato or fix the soil on the tomatoes, clean the room, ha ha ha, email me 3 times a day. I want to hear from you. I want you to follow up with me and tell me about your problems, because I'm tired of us hiding things from each other, is what she's saying there. This is a healthy relationship starting to form.
We're getting there. Yeah. It's moving in a good direction.
It's two of, like, kind of broken people who are trapped in, like, a lot of unfortunate circumstances, but just between the two of them, this is, like, going in a very good direction. A good
game. One of them's a clone, you know.
Yeah, that's fine. Listen. Nothing wrong with loving a clone, okay? Technically, we're all clones of our parents.
But what about Suleta 2? When Suleta 2 shows up, and it's like, I don't remember any of this. Hi, I'm Suleta.
Hi, nice to meet you. Suleta, forget it. So, season 2, like, ends with them, like, finally kissing, and then the next day she gets replaced by Suleta 2. Oh my god, that'd be so sad.
It would be rough.
She goes to school the next day and she's like, hi, I'm Suleta. Nice to meet you. It's my first day at school. Oh my god. I just, like, made myself sad. Woof.
I don't think it'll happen.
No. That's too sad for this show. And also, the clone thing is not even confirmed. We're still in the realm of fan theory. What other notes did you have? What other scenes did you want to talk about?
We're getting an upgrade to the Ariel.
Yes. What do we think? Vulcans? I think it has Vulcans.
Oh, head Vulcans?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it does. So what we see is, like, pretty much it's all blue and white with a little black that is clearly that kind of black that lights up with gun format stuff, right?
Right, right.
It looks vaguely like a full armor upgrade for, like, I mean, it I think specifically the shapes made me think of, like, the full armor Zeta Gundam. I don't think we know too much about it. I just know it looks good. I'm looking forward to seeing it, and I feel very justified for not pre-ordering the Re-100 of the original Ariel, because I think it's a very cool design, but I think its over-reliance on Gundam Tricolor puts me down, and this looks cooler to me.
Speaking of which, can you send me some of the new Gunpla so I can comment on them?
Yes, if it's time to do that, we can do that. Okay, so I will send you them one at a time so we can discuss them.
Okay.
The first one will take no time at all. This is the Zowart Heavy. We've already seen it.
Yeah.
It's just getting a Gunpla.
So when are these releasing? Next year?
You can see the release date at the bottom there. I believe they're pretty much all April.
Okay.
Next up is the Delonza Soul. This is clearly like a mass production Delonza mod.
Good wings.
My assumption was that it was going to be, when this came out before this episode did, I was like, oh, these are going to be like the ones that are guarding Plant Quetta or something, right? Doesn't seem to be the case.
Nope.
But clearly mass production style and ominous. And one thing to note, a trend you're going to notice is that very few of these have blade antennas, so they're not intended for school dueling.
Right.
Next up, we have the Hindery Storm.
This is like a turbo speed. What's the other podcast that you do?
Mechanista.
This is a turbo speed Mechanista where I just go like, huh, cool. Oh, I like the Hindery a lot. Very smooth.
It's clearly a Grassley, right?
Yep.
Grassley design.
Yep.
It looks like a kind of like a gun cannon to me. Or not a gun cannon, excuse me, a gym cannon.
Yeah.
You know what? Actually, let me see. There's one specifically, Jim Cannon 2. Post this for comparison, because I just feel like the vibes are very similar.
The vibes are very vibey.
There we go. Here's some art I don't hate. It's obviously a more slender design, because that's sort of the aesthetic of Grassley, but you can kind of see what I'm getting at.
Yeah. The gun loaded in the back, similar forehead situation.
Mm-hmm. And like a clear, a very gym style head with like the visor and then the,
yep,
the Mohawk pointy camera. Go ahead.
No, I call it a pointy. You call it a Mohawk camera. Let's call the whole thing off.
Next up, we have the Demi Barding. Clearly, this is an upgrade for Choo Choo.
Yeah, sand style. Choo Choo says in this episode she's taking three lunches for Miorine and what's her face? Nika. I was like, I forgot why she was
people in the cockpit. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it looks like a desert suit.
It's interesting because I think we have some shots. I don't have them handy right now, but we have some shots from behind of this one, and it's clearly like either that back part detaches or it can swap its torso or something.
Yeah,
it has another torso, head, and shoulders back there, which is very interesting. So more gimmicks for Choo Choo.
Gimmicks. Can we put a this Haro's is the back?
Horstack is attached. This is the one that doesn't have a name.
Ooh.
And to me, it looks like a mass production based on Gundam data.
Yeah. It's got a Gundam forehead. So
I could see Quiet Zero be like the data for mass producing Gundams like this, maybe. But again, that feels unimaginative.
That's not very fun.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Right. Right. And then lastly is the one that I hope this isn't the case, because I think it would be more interesting. Okay, so I'll just post it. First of all, this is clearly a Jeterk-built Gundam.
The Schwarzset.
Yes, Schwarzset. You can see it's very, very chunky design. It has this big sword. Overall, very clearly Jeterk aesthetics, by which I kind of mean, you know, Ipe Gyobu, the designer who's in charge of building, of drawing like the ones for Jeterk. So, yeah, my guess is this is the thing that's on that ship headed to the moon.
Oh, yeah.
They're hiding this.
I think this is my favorite one so far. It's the head.
It's really cool. I love it. It's very, very sick. Let me see if I can find some more art for you so you can see, like, the sword in full.
Yeah, I want to see that big... Look at this big sword, as the kids say.
It's a big, chunky sword, and it looks like it might be able to split in two or something.
Yeah, or, like, unfold.
Something. It clearly has, a seam along there.
Great heels.
So... What I wanted when this first came out is I want this to go to Lauda, right?
Yeah.
Gwell's little brother, shithead little brother. But I think given the situation we're in, it's probably going to Gwell. And it's not that I don't want Gwell to have it, but I feel like narratively it is more interesting if this, you know, shithead little kid has the sick machine instead of giving it, like, the really obvious move of just giving it to Gwell.
Right. Gwell, you failed me. Now it's your brother's turn to impress me. And he gives him, like, the coolest mobile suit. And Gwell's, like, so, not jealous, but, like, angry about it.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed.
There is one more thing, which is just a theory presented by one of our listeners who sent us a couple of questions, Vi on Twitter.
Uh-huh.
Suggests that, so we know that Mjörne's mom, Delling's wife, is dead, right?
Yep.
And we saw the funeral back then, and Mjörne was a little kid.
Yep.
Their theory is that Delling's wife died in a Gund experiment.
Oh.
And that's why he's so pissed at Gund format stuff.
That's a little simplistic, but believable. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how complicated his motivation is going to be, though, you know?
Right.
I mean, because right now it's just like, right now his motivation is he's an asshole, and I feel like it's more complicated than that, at least.
A little bit, yeah. But just like, I'm sad because wife died is a narrative device used in, let me check the math, everything. Everything uses that narrative device.
Yeah, I mean, I guess my thinking is that's why, because of firsthand experience, that's why he has a vendetta against Gund, but I think I have enough faith, I think, in Witch from Mercury that if this was the case, the reveal wouldn't be that he used to be such a nice dude. I think he was fucking always like this. It's just pointed at Gund now.
Huh. I think so. I think that tracks a little bit.
And I like that better, right? I don't want the fucking, like, Evangelion, like, no, you don't understand. Gendo used to be such a nice guy. Like,
yeah,
no.
Yeah, no.
Fuck off.
He's a bad
Delling
person.
Sucks.
Let him be a bad person.
Yeah.
We saw him in the prologue. He was bad then. Let him just be that. Don't be like, we cut to like 20 years earlier and it's like, oh my God, I love my wife so much. I want to just save the world. No.
And with an official decree from the Mobile Suit Development Committee that we're married.
Yeah, it's the first Mobile Suit marriage, or it's the first one of these dueling committee marriages ever. Whoa. Whoa.
Man, that's why he likes duels so much.
Duel. That's why he named his son. Wait, no, that's Delling. Sorry.
It's not his son.
Different son.
Which, that's, okay, that's a, I wanted to, like, my reading, I editorialized a bit in the notes there, but my reading is that Vim is such a punk ass,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Well's dad. That, like, he does intentionally, like, get in the little bit of a fight so he can plant the bug, but I think it's him allowing himself to just be sincere about his feelings. I think he is actually that much of a child.
Yes.
That he's like, I can't believe you'd make fun of the fact that my son is pouting and running away from me. I'm going to grab you by the collar.
How dare, like, you?
You really are that much of a child. I don't think that was a lot of acting on your part.
I don't think so either.
I'm also really looking forward to him dying, which I'm pretty sure will happen next episode.
To Jeddak dying?
Yeah.
Yeah, if they're going to make the whole, like, you didn't wait 2 hours thing, that has to matter. He can't just be like, no, now I have to rush, but I got away. Like, that's stupid. Do something
and
with that.
We're doing this thing where people have so much more complicated motivations, right? Like,
yeah.
We're getting this thing where, like, we got Lady Prosper showing up and we're like, is she going to try and get her revenge now? And she's instantly like, I mean, if you want to call me Elnora, we both know who I really am. Here's the data you wanted because I'm cooperating with you. Like, clearly her plan is far more, like, sophisticated than I'm going to do this so I can get in a room and shoot this guy in the head.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I think that would be a little bit simple. I keep saying that, though, and then the show does go pretty simple sometimes. So, whomst knows?
But I feel like it's the, like... I'm trying to figure out what I feel comfortable saying. Because there's a thing... There's a thing I do sometimes, right? When I have something big on my mind, right?
Yeah.
And I don't want people asking about it, and I don't want people thinking that I'm thinking about it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so what I will do is I will give people a lot of little truths that feel close to home so they don't ask about the big thing, right?
Oh, yeah.
How much is that what she's doing where she's like, no, listen, I'm going to help you. And it's because she's going for the bigger shot. It's because she's going to try and steal Quiet Zero or something.
Right.
Okay. Like, no, of course. Of course I'm willing to admit that the company's fake and that I'm really, you know, Elnora. Because now you'll think I'm fully disarmed and I'm just, you know, I'm willing to be open and honest with you.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to the next episode, though we're going to have to wait another week because we got another week off.
Oh, geez. So the new year, we finish Witch for Mercury Core 1.
Well, we would have anyway, right?
Yes.
Because even if it was immediately next week, it would still be the first. New year,
yeah. Leave it to Japan. Well, not Japan. Christmas is celebrated a little bit differently in Japan. But to just release an episode on Christmas, I was like, wait, really? Okay. Anime drops on Sunday, regardless. The holidays don't matter.
Agree. Holidays don't matter. High five, Japan.
This is the Christmas special, technically.
Yeah, maybe that's why we got the nice like mending of the relationship and all this nice stuff before everything goes really bad next episode.
We cut to the witches like slicing the chunk off of the ship and it's in the shape of a Christmas tree. Like, wait, what? That's the only like reference to it being Christmas.
There's actually a decent history in shows of Japan using the Christmas episode to actually do some really tragic plot twists.
Yeah.
I can tell you about one off the air that's really funny.
Oh, please. But
I don't want to spoil any shows for people, any perhaps Kamen Rider shows.
Ooh.
But yeah, I think that's what I've got.
That's what I've got.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us, everyone. We'll be back in 2 weeks with another one of these. Closing out the core. And then, you know, we'll spend some time off the air as the show itself is off the air and think about how we want to approach the second core. You know?
I do know. I'm excited.
All right. Well, until we get there, Alan, anything you want to promote? Anything you want to plug?
Sure. I host another podcast called Chats, a television podcast. That's CHATZ : a television podcast. My best friend Magellan and I, over there every week, we watch and discuss 2 episodes of a cult classic TV show. And, you know, we do a little bit of goofs and gags while also digging into the themes and individual scenes. So that can be found at chatspod.com. And if you like what you hear over there and you want to hear more of my friend and I, that's patreon.com/chatspod.
If you want to find me and my work, you can find me at @6detmar on Twitter, @6detmar. My DMs are open if you have any questions, comments, requests, or anything for any Scanline Media works. And those works can be found at scanlinemedia.com or patreon.com/scanlinemedia. But, friends and folks, that's it for this week. Until next time, just, you know,
keep it up.
When you have problems, talk to other people about them. Don't internalize everything and don't beat yourself up so much.
Love you. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Well, not quite. I guess this is going out like later today, but you know.
Happy New Year in 24 hours.
Still not then either.
Happy New Year in 27 hours. Wait. Yeah.
Nothing. Nope. Still not then.
29
hours. That'd be 10 p.m. Yeah. Okay. Bye.
Bye, everyone.